Episode 65.
I'm no different than any other customer, and I've always said that, and I teach this to my employees, and I applaud them because I'm only as good as they are. So my employees realize that I appreciate them. So when someone walks in my door, they're automatically feeling appreciated because the employees don't have this sense like, I'm just here because I got to earn a paycheck. Everyone obviously has to earn a living, but they're there because I truly care about them. And it shows in how we treat our customers.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. A warm welcome to Daryl Marks of Daryl's Firestone in Farmington, Michigan. Daryl, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I certainly am.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriato here, and welcome to episode 65 with Daryl Marks of Daryl's Firestone from Farmington, Michigan. Hey, by the way, thanks for listening. The podcast has been called an audio learning lab for all members of the industry to best know and understand the service professional and to keep in touch with many facets of the automotive aftermarket. Always keep an eye out on the face-to-face page on the RemarkableResults.biz website. There you will not only see the replays of the video podcasts, but see the next live scheduled face-to-face podcasts. And if you miss the live broadcast, you'll always be able to watch the replay. So stay in the know. Watch out for the face-to-face page. Now, Daryl Marks from Daryl's Firestone from Farmington, Michigan. Daryl joined the family business at 12. Well, that puts him at 43 years in the business. Not uncommon for most families second generation to engage the children at an early age. At 16, he was certified in auto repair, believe it or not, and began his career repairing cars. He bought his Firestone stores in 1999 and 2000. His sister Pamela is his partner. They now operate two locations with 11 bays and 6 techs. Each location has full-service gasoline and complete auto repair. Daryl is a board member of the Service Station Dealer Association and a Bridgestone Tire Certified Retailer. He's also on the Shell's Marketing Advisory Board. He gives back in big ways to his community. One of them is he's hired from a shadowing program that he facilitated with local high schools. He also works in the community in big ways and offers free oil changes to local high school seniors and with elder homes with gift certificates for auto repair and even to Kroger. He also gives away a book called Attitudes of Gratitudes by M.J. Ryan. He said he's given away 300 copies so far. You're going to enjoy Daryl Marks' success story as he is all about being the pillar of his community and giving back. He's a smart guy and a humble guy. Enjoy. Daryl, what's one thing that makes your business great?
You know, I believe just having the family feel. We have a slogan that we're honest, friendly service. And one of my stores actually has, and both are in small towns, but one is on maybe our RFD feel.
Oh, that, okay.
We are a small town. We go out and give fast, friendly service. We have that aura that we care. And it's not fake. It's just that we truly care. And people feel that and see that.
So you have a family business. How long? How long has it been there?
The two businesses that I operate now, I've owned one for 17 years, the other for 15 years. I go back doing this. I started when I was 12 in 1971 at a gas station that my father owned. And I've been blessed to move up the chain through those and then sold those and bought my current locations.
Excellent. Great family business story. I appreciate that. What's got you fired up right now?
You know, business is always changing. And, you know, for me, keeping up with the changes, keeping up with the technology, the small communities that I'm in, being networked, being a vital part of the community, really is what we're about.
So you believe in you're the expert in the community for automotive repair. You're the magnet for that.
You know, we truly love to have people come in, and I have had people from school shadow my technicians, shadow myself. I've gone to elementary schools and given seminars on business and on customer care. And, you know, I truly love giving back.
I love to hear that, because of late, it's amazing how many podcasts, interviews I've done recently with entrepreneurs like you that have really talked about bringing the local either college or high school, the future techs of our industry, inside the business, either in a co-op or shadowing programs. You should be, I applaud you for that. Great job.
It's fulfilling. What I did actually yesterday, I called one of the co-op advisors, and I haven't spoke to the gentleman in a while, and he was so appreciative that I wanted a few of his students to come so that if they have interest from the ground level up, I can show them what it's about. And I like doing that. You know, again, giving back to the community, giving back to my customers, I think has made us flourish.
Have you hired anyone from those shadowing programs?
I've had many over the years, and I'm actually looking for another young person that we can put in the back room, shadow one of my head techs, and then maybe turn them into doing a light tech position with us. And we also want someone at our front counter with the friendly attitude, someone that we can mentor and that would have the goals of possibly running a store someday.
Good stuff, good stuff. Hey, if you didn't need money, what would you be doing?
I would be working with most likely underprivileged children and sports related, helping kids get that warm, fuzzy feeling from someone that cares about them. You know, the Adopt a Child program or the Big Brother Mentor program.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some of it even when money does matter. And that, again, is part of giving back.
That's just unbelievable to hear. Not many people know this about me, but my two children are adopted. And that's just makes my heart warm. That's great. So how often do you self-evaluate? You take a moment in time and you say, you know, here's what's going on. I know I got to do this in the future, and I need as an individual to assess where I'm going. How often do you do that?
You know, I do that periodically. I don't know if there's a set schedule. You know, I'm really blessed to have a very warm family. My sister, Pamela, is my partner. So we're best friends. We go back to, you know, the early days working under our father. And my wife is very integral part of the communication. She's very intelligent. She's a hairdresser. So she also has her angle on things. So we evaluate quite often on how we can just keep our flow and keep, you know, between family and business, keeping both separate. I can remember years ago, and I tell this to my children, and even my sister and I talk about it, but we used to be at the kitchen table, and all of us worked for my father, and he would bring up daily chores and daily things that happen at business. And it took till I got to about 17 where I said, you know, Dad, can we just have home be home and work be work? And I have really done that with my family, with my friends even. We can discuss things, but we're out at a place where we're trying to enjoy a sporting game. It's not time to start, you know, asking and working on your business. It's time to enjoy yourself.
So you figured out that work-life balance, or at least you have a strong discipline to make it happen.
I do my very best. I could be bothered about something that may have happened at one of the stores. And until 8 o'clock rings and I go put my work hat on, it just has to be on the back burner. I have to enjoy my family and I have to do what's necessary to make the family flourish.
If you could go back in time and do one thing over from starting your business, what would it be?
God, I don't know that I'd recreate too much. I was so blessed the way things happened for me. And going back to my old Shell days, and Shell has given me all the tools that I have.
Wait a minute. Were you a Shell answer man?
I was the answer man for 28 years. And it really gave me that. I'm a School of Hard Knocks person. I did every class that Shell put on, you know, from their managements to their inventories to their accounting. They experienced the different schools. And, you know, we were the best of the best. And when it came time where Shell decided that they wanted to get a lot more rent from our stores and I just could not be viable, I was blessed that my stores pretty much fell in my lap. And I was smart enough to be able to buy them. And It was so wonderful having something that is mine, 100% mine.
You bought two stores at once?
I bought one in April, actually April Fool's of 1999, and then I bought the second one in December of 2000. So within a year and a few months.
So you went to a lot of training from Shell. And what'd you learn from it? What was your biggest takeaway?
You know, the whole thing of gas stations back in the old days was we were the most valued person in the community. You went to your corner gas station and you knew you were going to get honest, reliable, friendly service. And that was the heart of what my businesses are today. And, you know, Shell, as far as being business focused, they taught you how to make money. And obviously, you know, we're not doing this because we don't have our own goals with having family and obviously a nice home to live in. But they really did teach you how to do all aspects of a business.
So 17 years ago is when you bought your first store. Can you recognize a significant change in you as a leader since then?
You know, the difference between having a lease store where Shell and you had a big brother, I'll say, always over you and a district manager monitoring was the buck stopped with me. And, you know, I became way more focused. I actually signed up after doing this for 28 years, actually 30 years, because 2 years after I bought my Firestone, I signed up for a 6-month tutoring class and a management success program out of California.
Okay.
And I went there for 6 weeks, and for 6 months, I had my own personal mentor that would help me and really keep me focused to go to that next step. And, you know, I had to have enough internal where I didn't know everything. I'm still today, I can learn something every day. I don't know everything.
We recently put out a podcast, actually episode 63 on business coaching, and it was a video face-to-face where there were three other podcast alum on with me. And, you know, put the ego on the shelf and get out there and figure out, get help to run your business, because you just can't ever know enough. And that's pretty much what you said. And I believe that podcast and what you just said confirms that. Are you reading any books right now?
I have a book that I reread, and it's called Attitudes of Gratitude. And
okay.
I live by being grateful. So I do quite a few different meetings for betterment of a lot of different society people. And I've given away more than 300 copies of this book. And, you know, to live grateful, we all have bumps in the road. We all have things that are going to get us down. And I wake up every day knowing that today is a new day and that I'm going to be grateful for what I have.
Who's the author?
MJ Ryan.
Daryl, what's your escape?
I enjoy many things. Golf is a passion of mine. I have a small boat, so we'll go out with the family and do a little bit of skiing or tubing or just hanging out and fishing, talking. I love sports. I'm a big Detroit Lions fan, even though my Lions have been letting me down for the last, well, my life, basically. But that's it. Besides going to the gym and getting a good sweat going, I love the sports.
Who are they playing on Thanksgiving?
We're playing the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to at least winning a few more games this year.
Good for you. Take us back to your best aha moment.
I think one of my biggest aha moments, and, you know, I hate to go back to the Shell days, but when I finally realized that I couldn't do that any longer, that I really couldn't keep working under this umbrella of a major corporation that has lost, I believe, its focus on the little guy. And I took the reins by the horn and said, I am going to do something different. And that aha moment made me who I am.
You don't regret that, do you?
It's the best thing ever happened in my life.
So what makes Daryl's Firestone unique?
When you walk in the door at either of my stores, you automatically feel welcome. And I'm no different than any other customer. And I've always said that. And I teach this to my employees and I applaud them because I'm only as good as they are. So my employees realize that I appreciate them. So when someone walks in my door, they're automatically feeling appreciated because the employees don't have this sense like, I'm just here because I got to earn a paycheck. Everyone obviously has to earn a living, but they're there because I truly care about them. And it shows in how we treat our customers.
Excellent. Great. Let's go to your suppliers right now. How important is the warranty program that you get from your supplier?
You know, the warranties from them help us obviously be able to pass that along if it's someone on the road or someone that, you know, has driven out of our little demographics. But we even go over and above because if I have to just do something that's over their warranty, we'll just do it. Because customer care is everything. And, you know, we can't obviously break the bank doing it, but there's been many, many times that a part's been out of warranty and we'll just either do it at cost or we will obviously just donate the part if it's not, you know, a lot of money. But warranty's big. People want to know that you're doing good quality work and that you'll stand by it.
What can your supplier do today to improve relationships or service?
You know, it's a daily battle. Employees are really the crux of it because they run a gamut of a high turnover. You know, their salespeople are professionals, but everyone from their downstream is really just transient employees. And they do a pretty nice job. We have three main suppliers, and they do a really nice job doing their best to keep that under wraps. But some of the stuff's out of their control. They have turnover.
You say you have three main suppliers. Without telling me, just pick the first one and tell me about what percentage of volume you give them.
Our number one gets about 70%.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
What do you buy online? Is most of your stuff just clicking and buying?
I'd say 85%. We go right through our management program, find the part, click on it, and it's delivered.
What's your preferred way of getting training to your technicians?
Well, I'm a AC Delco dealer also.
Okay.
So they go online through AC Delco. I've just become a Motorcraft distributor also, where we have their training. So we do most of it just online. They can go on and take the courses, take the tests, get the certificates from both of those. And then occasionally there's a specialty that I'll more than willing to buy them if they choose to go.
So versus leader led versus lunches and learns, it's web. How do you know that they each took the web course, or do they actually do it at the shop?
Yeah, we have ways to do it at our store. A lot of them do it at home, and then you got to get a certificate. You can't pass it without doing the work. And then once, you know, they'll even let you do 5 questions of a 40 question test and keep going back. And then after they're done, they bring me a certificate.
And do you ask them what they learned?
We go over, and they'll actually ask me, like, what class do I think they should have? You know, where, you know, we'll discuss maybe where some of their shortcomings are. And we'll go, hey, let's start here, A, B, C, D, and we can always expand on that after.
What do you think the number of hours is that a tech should have to have in training each year?
It really varies per tech, and they're obviously what their job description would be. But at least 20 hours of training, minimum.
What's your choice, finding good technicians or growing them?
Well, finding them is very difficult right now. So you actually have to take your lower and grow them. We actually have an incentive program for our highly skilled techs that will pay them a little bit of training money so that they will pass on some of their knowledge. Because it comes from a lot of years. It doesn't happen overnight.
Could you share what that incentive is? I mean, if they reach so many hours, do they get a bump or a bonus? How does that work?
We let them pick. We have some that get a warm and fuzzy out of going to dinner.
Yeah.
And maybe a show and having a little, you know, family time together. We have some that want a little bit of money. It could be $100 if they help another tech succeed and get a certification from the state, one that they had difficulty getting. It may just be that we'll buy them a tool. They love tools, so we'll say, hey, we'll pitch in and we'll get you that new set of pliers. We'll get you that new tool of your choice. So we have, you know, everyone has their own little hot button.
Great, great. Thanks. Any upgrades or equipment investments you're going to make soon?
Actually, I made last year new alignment machines because alignment technology is ever-changing. And the speed that we do our alignment checks and our alignments with has, it's gone, you know, tenfold. We used to take an awful long time setting them up and calibrating machines. Now we have one that within 50 seconds, it's on the hoist. I can have it in and checked. It's amazing how fast.
I just loved Apex and SEMA to see some of that high tech alignment stuff that's out there. Wow.
It's amazing. And truly alignments, you know, every car needs one. It's not brain surgery. You know, you don't have to have your highest skilled person checking them or doing them. So it's really it's a great profit center.
Any unique system, that's improved your workflow recently?
We always are doing tweaks on our system with checking cars and getting that information to our salespeople. So we have a pretty unique system of when they do check it, we don't do a lot of communication by him standing in front of me and dictating on what he found. It's all documented on a sheet. We have a file that it goes in. And when the salesman sees that there's a new order in there, he can read it through. If he has any questions, he'll come out and ask them of the service technician versus the technician standing there and waiting for the service advisor to have time to talk to him. So he can go out and keep his hands on cars. And we've tweaked that to make it really, we even have our second guys, our oil change, our tire guys come up and actually do some of that legwork for the head tech, because the more times he has his hands on cars, the more money we're all making and generating.
Daryl, do you envision the inspection process to go paperless in your place someday?
We do. We've already have each tech has its own desktop, and we can communicate, because, you know, for them to walk in and out of the office 20, 30 times a day is just not in the in our plans. So we do some texting, and we do it right via a desktop computer.
Are you texting your customer?
I have just started texting from the convention we were just at when they started talking about texting. And I went to how to better your communication seminar. We're looking into the proper company that we can start doing that with.
And I know you're a fan of the podcast. Go back and listen to episode 60 with Craig Buckley. He's all over that. Anyone in the company following up on declined work?
We have two ways. My bookkeeper. In her spare time, we'll set aside when we have what we call revisions and other service that is necessary, mm-hmm. that maybe even wasn't immediate concerned, then she will compile them. We make a phone list, and then weekly we either call or we'll send them an email and let them know that we're, you know, concerned about the issue with their vehicle. My management program also, we do follow-up letters. And we do those monthly. So depending on the severity of the issue, you know, if it's something that was a safety related item and they just didn't have the funds at that time, we're going to follow up and ask them if there's some other way we can help them.
What's new in the tire business?
Tires are ever changing. Tires truthfully have become, it's an amazing transition, because there's so many companies, so many different tires. I have people that call me and know more about tires than I do, because they can read about them right online and they want a specific tire. Tires truthfully are ever changing. And you know, you have all these different ratings and so many different cars. No one can know everything about tires. So I actually have to research, you know. I just had a lady the other day that came in and she got a bunch of quotes from all these other stores and she's giving them to me. And I'm like, you know, I think I should check and see what's really best for your car. She goes, wow, the other guys never said anything about that. I said, well, if I'm truly going to sell you a tire and you're going to invest this much money, why don't I do a little research for you? Let me really do the right due diligence. I called her back and she bought the tires from me.
What a novel idea. Ask the customer all about their driving habits and make the choice. Hey, what's becoming your best method to acquire new customers?
I still believe our very best is referrals. We have a referral program where we will actually give a service, give a gift certificate, give a Starbucks gift certificate or a reward card to someone that does give us a neighbor or a good referral. Because when you have a referral, they automatically have that loyalty built in from the customer that's telling them to go see Daryl. That trust is built in. So we have many other ways, but that is really the best way, because it's generally someone that needs you, and they're gonna make a purchase.
Do you use social media, Facebook, Twitter at all?
We have Facebook. Mm-hmm. We have pretty much every venue that you can think of is no Twittering really, but we do this. We do the Googles. We do every other avenue that you can be on social.
Who's doing that for you?
My website provider does some of it, okay. And then I do some of it.
Right.
I enjoy doing the Facebook part. You know, we'll throw on different things about the community, about what's happening new in the business, or what's happening new at our facilities.
Out of all your community efforts, philanthropic stuff that you do, what's given you the most satisfaction?
I have two that I really believe are internally helping our business, and on top of it, giving back to kids and elderly. So we have a program where for the last 9 years, this graduating class, I give every graduating student from the three local high schools a free oil change. Because I know when I was graduating, and a lot of my friends, you know, they got their first car, they would just have been extremely happy to have that. So when they have an all-night party, I give away everyone an oil change at actually three schools near my one and two schools near my other store. I give free oil changes. And truthfully, it has been an amazing transition of the kids that come in. I've actually gotten a couple employees, and I've gotten the parents that, you know, you're giving my son something, my daughter something. They just really feel warm about that. So now I took it to another level, and I went to elderly homes in my area, and I've just reached out to three that are near my Firestone store, and I offered any person that does have a vehicle at those locations that I would be more than happy to give them a gift certificate for repairs of any kind. I picked $35 or a free oil change, and it was really amazing. But one of the ladies said, so not everyone here has cars. So what do I do for the people at the holiday party that don't have cars? I go, what would you like me to do? She goes, how about Kroger gift cards? I go, it would be my pleasure to go. I don't know if you'll have 50 people or 100 people or 10 people, but you let me know, and I'll be more than happy to give everyone that has a car a free gift certificate for some services. Everyone that doesn't, I'll be glad to buy them some groceries at Kroger.
Daryl, you have a huge heart.
It comes back tenfold. And truthfully, as a businessman, when I did the giving the high school students, you know, it really was just out of a whim, something I wanted to do nice for the community. I've really been blessed with my community, and we have grown so many new customers from that it was really a twofold. And now, you know, people are like, why are you doing it? I'm like, well, it really benefits my business and it benefits my heart. So it's what I do.
Great stuff. Any big concern or threat going on right now to your business?
There's really not any major threats. Some of the big box stores, they have different ways of doing things. And, you know, they're more after that big dollar. They're not after the community loyalty. They pretend they are. But that's scary, because we are all for one. Mm-hmm. You know, the business, when you do something at one store, even if it wasn't a branded store like mine, it still degrades the business. And that still happens, and that's scary.
Put your virtual glasses on right now and look out 5 to 10 years. What are you going to be doing?
Well, I'd say 10 years, I will probably be passing on my stores, because I'm getting there, you know, in age. And I believe I would still, if I had to go to my next level of being a person that wants to give back, is I would love to mentor other business owners. And I, you know, I've been pretty blessed with some really great tools, and I don't know if I would have a company, or I would just volunteer my services on some places that might need a little help. 5 years from now, I'm still going to be you know, doing what I do, you know, giving out all the service I can. I don't believe I'm going to grow my business too much more. I've had 5 stores at times. I'm down to 2. I'm really blessed that I own the properties, and I'm getting to that point where I'm pretty comfortable just being where I am. So there was a time where I thought I was going to grow again, but I think I'll stay with my 2 very nice stores and great communities and just do what I'm doing.
Well, you and I have an interesting story to share. We were in Vegas at Apex SEMA, and I was on a town hall panel on Saturday morning. And after we got done with our part of the presentation to about 2,000 service professionals, it was open to comments and questions. And you got up and you did a commercial for the podcast, and it was just wild. People accused me of making sure you were there, and you weren't. I didn't know you were going to be there. And you and I had a date to do this recording a couple of weeks later. And I want to thank you for that. That was great. And then I had a chance to meet you and your wife, Jill.
That was amazing. It was funny because when they're announcing who's on this town hall, I'm listening, and, you know, the gentleman from Bosch and the gentleman that does the reviews for the magazines. And then all of a sudden there's this insider that does podcasts. I'm like, that's got to be Carm. And it was like, Carm, you're announced. My gosh, it was amazing. It was truly wonderful.
Great, great. Well, Daryl Marks from Daryl's Firestone in Farmington, Michigan. One final question. Give us some great words to live by.
If I had advice to give a young person, I give it to my own children, is be authentic. Always live real. Don't have to fake anything. Play with your heart, share with your heart, and give with your heart, and all good things happen.
Thanks, Daryl. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.